Hello, and thank you for joining us for Options Talk with OIC. I'm your host, Joe Burgoyne, Director of Retail Marketing at the Options Industry Council. OIC is a nonprofit initiative that was created to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. We offer a variety of resources to those interested in learning more about options, including live seminars and webcasts. So here are a couple ways you can stay in touch. You can like the OIC page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at options_EDU, and join our group OIC on LinkedIn. Today we are going to be speaking with industry experts about some of the latest topics impacting the options industry. We're going to spend some time discussing why an investor might want to include options as a part of their investor portfolio. But before we get started, let me state that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting www.optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. To keep things simple, commissions, fees, margin interest and taxes have not been included in the examples used in this podcast. These costs will impact the outcome of all stock and options transactions and must be considered prior to entering into any transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential tax consequences. None of the information presented in this podcast should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. So, let's introduce our guest for today's topic on should options be a part of your portfolio? We've got Alan Grigoletto, Senior Vice President of Business Development and Marketing at Box. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joe. I'm happy to be here.
Now, Alan, can you tell me a little bit about your background in the options industry?
I was the first one hired to build the Boston Options Exchange. Prior to that, I was a partner in an investment advisory firm, and I got started in the industry as an independent market maker and broker on the CBOE.
Wow. Some wonderful experiences. Thanks for joining us today. And from OIC's call center, we've got Darren Tate, a senior specialist of investor services at the OCC. Darren, what do you do over there?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. It's good to be back. My primary function at the OCC is to support the investor services help desk. On our help desk, we take calls from investors, brokers, financial advisors, market makers, just about anybody you can imagine, and answer their options questions. We also have online chats available, and people can email us and ask their questions, so we keep pretty busy doing that.
I'm sure you do. Well, thank you both for being here today. Let's get right to it. Now, given the industry that we're in, I think we all probably agree that we think options are a worthwhile investment tool to consider. For the novice who's trying to make a decision about options, where would an investor start? Alan, you want to take that one?
Well, yes, sure, Joe. You mentioned that options are a useful investment tool. That's absolutely correct. And as an investor, you should understand that options can provide protection for a portfolio as well as be a vehicle that can also generate additional income.
Yeah, exactly, Alan. Options should be thought of as a tool for risk management, how to manage risk within your portfolio if they're used in the proper way. On top of that, they can be used as a speculative instrument, and understanding the risk-reward trade-off is going to be the key thing when deciding how to invest in any security, and options are no different.
Wow. All right, guys. You said an awful lot there. Let's focus in on a few points for the investor who is considering options. Now, Alan, how can options provide protection for a portfolio?
Well, there are a number of ways, Joe, an investor can protect his portfolio with options. First off, he can buy protective puts, which are purchased against an individual stock or an ETF. He could also sell call options, with the understanding that you can be assigned on those short calls. Finally, he can sell call options and simultaneously purchase a put, which is called a collar strategy.
Okay. Now, Darren, can you further explain to our listeners the use of options as a risk management tool versus using options to speculate?
Sure. One could use options to reduce price fluctuations of their underlying stocks and also to hedge or insure their overall portfolio. Investors could select individual high beta stocks to hedge with options or choose an index or exchange-traded fund that is highly correlated with their portfolio. Typically, we think of buying puts as a way to protect the downside, but there are other strategies one could use to hedge or to also reduce the cost of hedging, like collars or spreads. Each one will have a different risk-reward trade-off.
Okay. Well, we've touched upon options as a risk management tool and as a speculative vehicle. How does an investor use options to generate income, Alan?
Joe, an investor can sell call options with the goal of realizing gains from expiring out-of-the-money options. Clients should also know that this type of strategy can be done in an IRA account, provided it is not what we call an overwrite strategy, which would be selling more calls than the underlying shares. The profits in this case are tax-deferred until retirement.
That's an important detail. Now, Darren, what are some of the other considerations that investors can take into account when it comes to options?
Well, one thing they can do, options can be used to lock in gains in the market through strategies like buying puts or using options as a stock substitute. One thing some investors don't realize is that going long a put option is very similar to entering a stop loss order. But with a put option, the investor is in control of the timing of the sale of the underlying security should they elect to exercise a put. Whereas with a stop loss order, the order might trigger at an unfavorable time and they have to get out of it altogether at that point when the order triggers. Options can also be used as a stock substitute, gaining exposure to different sectors or individual stocks. One could purchase call options and essentially delay their decision as to whether or not they want to purchase the underlying security, thereby protecting their cash position.
Okay, now, Alan, the collar, which is something you mentioned earlier, is another strategy that is associated with locking in or protecting existing profits. Can you talk a little bit about how the collar works?
Yes, Joe. Collar strategies involve the sale of a call option and the purchase of a put option with ownership of equivalent number of shares of the underlying, be that a stock or an ETF. A collar is actually two strategies in one, a covered call and a protective put.
Now, do collars cost money, Alan?
Well, they can. It's dependent upon how much premium you receive from the sale of the call option and what the cost of that put is on the collar side.
Okay. So sometimes they cost money and
sometimes they don't. Sometimes they can be done for break even.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, Alan earlier alluded to how options can be used in an IRA account. Darren, would you mind talking a little bit more about that?
Sure. Most brokerage firms allow certain option strategies in IRA accounts, individual retirement accounts. As an IRA cannot have margin, any option strategy that's going to require a margin deposit typically is not allowed. From what I understand, some firms allow covered calls and cash-secured puts in IRAs. If one understands these two strategies, oddly enough, they're essentially an identical strategy. The risk-reward trade-off is almost identical. A cash-secured put is where an investor sells a put option to open a short position, sets aside the strike price times 100 to be used in the event that they were assigned or put the shares of the underlying security. From the calls I take, some customers indicate that they can also do some spreads in their IRA accounts. So it really is going to be dependent upon the brokerage firm, but as to what the customer can and can't do. In any event, it typically will require a separate application to get the IRA account approved for options trading.
Okay, wonderful detail there, Darren. Thanks. Now, given all the information we've discussed today, what do you guys think? Should options be part of an investor's portfolio?
Well, obviously, that's an individual decision, but clearly there are a lot of benefits, but also some risks as well. So investors should be sure to have a good understanding of the advantages and disadvantages before they even begin trading.
Very good advice, Alan. Now, to wrap things up, Darren, how would an investor go about getting started?
Well, first and foremost, an investor has to become familiar with some of the basic terminology. You got to get a little grasp of just the language that we use when we're talking about options so that you can effectively communicate with your broker or when you're looking at your account online, the different things that are going to go into placing an options transaction. They can start by using the resources on our OIC's website, optionseducation.org, listening to our podcasts here, the webcasts, the other tools that we have available online to better understand options. We've got virtual trading. Customers can go out onto our website and trade in a simulated brokerage account so they don't have to put any capital of their own at risk, call our help desk, 888-OPTIONS. Speak to myself or my colleagues. We'll be glad to help you better understand any particular things that you might have, questions you might have about options. As Joe indicated in the beginning of the podcast, read through and understand the options disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. You can get that through your brokerage firm or also on our website. And understand, what do you want to use options for? Do you want to use them to speculate? Do you want to use them to hedge? Do you want to generate some income? And again, understanding the risks and the rewards of the various strategies and the objectives for these strategies.
I would also add, Darren, that an investor begin paper trading in order to familiarize themselves with how options work and how they are priced. There's a calculator on the OIC website, and the investor can see what happens over time with options in relationships to movement and the underlying.
Well, Alan, Darren, great information today. Thanks so much for your insight and spending time with us. That will wrap up today's show. Alan is one of our OIC instructors, so look for him on the seminar circuit. And if you ever want to talk to Darren or any of his knowledgeable staff of colleagues about any options-related question, they are available by contacting OIC's call center at 1-888-OPTIONS. As Darren mentioned earlier, don't forget to check out our website, www.optionseducation.org. We've got a lot of information there to help you on your options journey. And we're always looking for your feedback on the show, so email us at options@theocc.com and let us know what you think. Lastly, don't forget the social links we provided at the beginning of our show. You can join us at LinkedIn, like the OIC page on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. And remember, a little options education goes a long way.